It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the fantasy football champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Brees throwing back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Todd DeBreeze and Bill Enright are the fantasy football champs.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill Enright here with Todd DeVries for the next 2 hours. So if you're listening to us live, give us a call, 508-298-0398. Or if you're listening to us a little bit later in the week on demand via the podcast, send us a tweet at FFChamps with your fantasy football questions. Todd, my man, it's the Fantasy Football Championship. For everyone out there that made it, congratulations. Very big accomplishment. But you don't get any of the glory unless you win in Week 16, right?
Correct. You've got to win it at the end. That's all that matters, my friend. So if you've made it this far, like you said, congratulations. But your work is not yet through. One more week until you get to hoist that trophy, Bill.
Now, there are some leagues out there that have a two championship week. So you play Week 16 and Week 17. What are your thoughts about those kind of leagues?
Not into it. Not into that
at all.
Don't
like it.
No.
Worried about teams sitting their starters.
Yeah, you don't want to use Week 17 for any reason, in my opinion, with the NFL. Just ignore it altogether. Too many. You've worked too hard and too long to, like you just said, you know, some of the best teams. Matt Ryan next week, is he going to play? I don't know.
Right.
You know, is Julio Jones going to play? He's been banged up quite a bit. He could use an extra week off.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, no, I've never played in a league, maybe the first couple of years, Bill, back in the early 90s when we didn't know any better.
Right.
Actually, we did, now that I'm thinking about it. That's why we quickly turned away from that. That was before the internet even came on board with fantasy football. So, yeah, we quickly learned our lesson. Back then, Bill, it was like Steve Young, Emmitt Smith, those guys were sitting in that final week and we were getting burned. We're like, this is no good. We got to change the rules.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't use Week 17 at all.
By the way, guys, just to say, so my league goes through Week 17, and it isn't a double week matchup thing. The quarterfinals were this past week, and I won, and advanced to the semifinals, which is this week, and then the championships next week. So it's another one of those odd leagues that uses all 17 weeks, and it doesn't even have that 2 week thing that Todd's talking about.
Now, what are your waiver wire rules in that league?
I don't know.
For winning fantasy football championships.
No, I mean, they go through. All I know is that, you know, they go through on, let's see, you got to make them on Tuesday night and the players show up on your team on Wednesday. I know that.
Well, what I'm saying is that sometimes, Kevin, if you're using Week 17 and half of your team is not playing, you need to hit the waiver wire and basically reshape an entirely new team for that 1 week, your championship week, and you need to go out there and grab three or four starters sometimes. So. That's what I was asking, you know, because some leagues, Kev, you know.
I'll look it up while we're talking.
There you go. Some leagues have limitations on the number of ad drops you can do in a week. Some leagues cost money for ad drops, so, you know, got to know your rules,
yeah, this
man.
One definitely doesn't cost money, and I'm pretty sure you can do it, but I'll look it up real quick while you guys go on.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't like that format. I think fantasy football should end in Week 16. You crown the championship in Week 16. And then in Week 17, you know, you meet up with your friends at the bar or wherever you're watching the game, and then you get to brag throughout the whole day and for the next 8 months until your next draft.
Well, what I've learned is they don't want to sit with you when you're the champ, Bill.
You got to make yourself sit with them.
You know what
Go
I mean?
Go to wherever they are.
You got to plan it, like, before you win it. You got to plan it, like, during the season. Hey, guys, in Week 17, we're all getting together at this bar to do this, you know, because once you win it, they don't want to hang out with you. It doesn't.
Yeah. So there's no limit to the number of guys you can add or drop for the year.
All right.
It's just a free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all. Well, we'll see what happens, but you might have to be picking up some players that week.
The only thing, I mean, I really like the kid that organized it for, you know, he works with us, and I love the kid, and he's awesome, but I just, the league includes return yards.
I love that.
It's 10 for a punt, 25 for a kick return.
Okay.
I don't know. I just don't like it.
I love that.
I think the only reason I don't like it is because it's different. I had never done it before, and I don't like change. I like stability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like an old geezer. I don't like change.
You're not willing to change, huh?
No. So I didn't like that, and also it has the same amount of points for a passing touchdown than it has for a rushing or receiving touchdown.
I like that too.
And I had never had that before either.
That brings the value of the quarterback way up.
Yeah.
I like that rule, actually.
And it has, like, it's the only one that I've ever done that has bonuses where, like, a quarterback gets two extra points for 300 yards passing, or a receiver gets two for, like, 100 yards receiving.
I don't like that too much.
Yeah, it just has, like, a lot of, like, weird little quirks that the first year I'm going through, and I remember I thought I had won just looking at my team the first week of the season, and the kid I was playing ended up having Percy Harvin. This is back in, like, 2010. And Percy had done really well in the return game, didn't have a touchdown, but had, like, you know, 100-plus punt return yards, and he just went, you know, he got points for all those, so he ended up beating me by, like, 4 points, and I was furious.
Well,
and ever since then,
I've hated
return yards ever since that week.
You deserve to lose that game. Listen, if you're a player, Darren Sproles, Percy Harvin, Wes Welker, they're producing on the field. Their special teams is a factor.
Yeah.
If they're scoring touchdowns or they're getting a big return, why wouldn't the players
you have on your fantasy squad get rewarded? You should
for that.
Get the touchdown, I agree, but the yards was just weird to me. And Bill, you just brought up a great point. Like, in leagues like this, such as this one, guys like a Darren Sproles and Percy Harvin that get touches in the offense as well as all these special teams touches.
Yeah.
Those guys go so high. They're like
second-round
picks, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just my little thing.
No,
I did win thanks to you guys.
I played
Steven Jackson. I stuck with what you said.
Good.
He had a good solid week from the flex position.
Yeah.
And the Lions almost killed me, but I ended up winning by like 6 points. So.
Ugh, the Lions.
Yeah, I know. I went with the Lions. Like
good
Kat,
Lord.
Like Kat in Chicago, our caller last week, she went with the Lions as well, and they almost burned her. She narrowly won and advanced to her championship.
How do you know that she won?
She called in to Rook earlier and I asked her how she did because she called into our show last week.
Yeah.
So I asked her how she did, and she said she narrowly escaped and advanced to the championship, but the Lions' defense almost killed her.
But we're going to get to some of the chumps here in the next segment here because there were plenty of them, Bill. I mean, I got to say, I can't remember a playoff week like this, Bill, where so many studs really
came. Ray Rice, another guy that almost killed me. I survived.
It was out of control.
I survived having the Lions defense and Ray Rice, my like pretty much keeper running back, my number one player, only had 3 points. So I don't know how I won, but I somehow managed.
All right, Kevin, enough about your league. We're happy you won, but that's enough.
I'm excited, guys. I'm excited.
Listen, there's a lot we need to get to today. Patriots Jaguars fantasy breakdown. Week 16 waiver wire. We got to run through the list of all the injuries you should keep an eye on. We'll reveal our Week 16 player rankings. And, of course, we're answering your emails, webradio@patriots.com. And I'm always taking your telephone calls. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. That's how you reach us right here live. But before we move on to Week 16, let's quickly look back at Week 15, go over some of these champs and chumps that you guys were just alluding to.
Who were the playmakers, the showstoppers, the studs?
Woo!
And who were the losers, the bums, and the duds? Bill and Todd identify the champs and chumps.
All right, so champs and chumps have been fun. We'd like to do a quick little recap of last week, and we'll start off with the quarterback champs. Got to mention Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks, the rookie. How about this stat line, Todd? 205 passing yards, one passing touchdown. But then he had 92 rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. He was one of the better running backs of the week, and he plays quarterback.
Well, as a Marshawn Lynch owner in multiple leagues in the playoffs,
as I kept
seeing them break, you know, breaking news from Seattle, I'm like, oh, it's a rushing touchdown. No, Russell Wilson rushing touchdown. The first three were Russell Wilson touchdowns. Now Lynch wound up getting his share a little bit as well, but. You know, the thing with Russell Wilson is, I mean, seriously, Bill, do we know how many people actually played him this week?
You know, that's the sad part. Probably not a whole lot.
No.
Unless you're in a 14 or 16 team league, Russell Wilson's probably on the bench for a lot of teams out there.
Yeah. So I don't know how many people were able to take advantage of that, but huge week for him. He's really coming along nicely. That's a big understatement.
Yeah, so 3 rushing touchdowns for Russell Wilson. Drew Brees got it done the old-fashioned way for a quarterback. 307 passing yards and 4 passing touchdowns. That was that game against the Bucks.
Yes, standing ovation for Drew Brees. He came through huge. And he's had an up-and-down season, Bill, you know.
More ups than downs.
More ups than downs, but it hasn't been vintage Brees, as we've seen in the past. But he's coming on strong here, and that you know that a lot of people won. I know in our league, there was a huge upset in our league because one guy had Drew Brees and the other guy had one of the chumps we're about to talk about. Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford makes a QB chump list, 246 passing yards and 3 interceptions.
And they're playing the Cardinals, Bill.
I didn't understand that game. That game was just a really weird one.
Let's just say this, right up front, top of the show, the NFL is all over the place.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, the Falcons beat the Giants 34-0.
Mm-hmm. Biggest blowout for a defending Super Bowl champion in the history of the NFL.
Washington starts a backup rookie quarterback. They put up 38 points.
Right.
You know?
A backup rookie quarterback. Yeah.
And they put up 38 points. Tampa Bay's fighting for a playoff spot. They lose by 41.
They got shut out as well.
You know? Seattle puts up 50 points for the second week in a row.
Yeah, I couldn't see that coming.
Detroit, you know, they go into Arizona, who's lost. How many they lost in a row? 9 or 10
Nine
in a row?
Yeah.
And they lose 38-10.
Yeah. The Lions, they're just falling apart more.
I mean, what is going on here? And then, you know, you turn on your TV, the Patriots are down 31-3 at one point in that game.
Yeah.
Just crazy stuff. Just it's very hard to figure out, and maybe we'll get into this on our Football Nation show on Thursday, but we're in for a wild ride when the playoffs come around, when the real playoffs come around, because the NFL is all over the place right now, Bill. I mean, it's really hard to make sense out of it. Yeah.
All right, a couple more QB chumps to get to. Josh Freeman, I think he's the chump of the week, Todd. 279 passing yards, 4 interceptions, and 1 fumble loss. He probably got you negative points if he was in your starting lineup.
Well, and the killer with that is the matchup was beautiful.
He had 420 passing yards and 3 touchdowns the first time the Bucs and Saints met this year. The New Orleans Saints were giving up the most points to quarterback all season long, and then Josh Freeman comes out with this 5 turnover game, scratching my head all day.
Yeah, you know, it's you figured that would be a high-scoring game, but it wasn't. It was on the one side of the ledger was it a high-scoring game. So Josh Freeman, another guy that he might have been a starter more so than Russell Wilson in a lot of leagues because of the matchup, I would think, and because he's had some huge games. But, again, it's not like an Eli Manning or a Matt Stafford were probably in the lineups a lot more. You know what I mean?
Speaking of Eli Manning, he's on the chump list this week. 161 passing yards, 2 interceptions, and as you mentioned before, Giants, 0 points on the board for the day.
I'll get to my Giants rant after we get through this segment.
Okay.
I'm not happy with the Giants right now.
All right, let's go to the running back champs. Adrian Peterson, there's not enough adjectives in the dictionary to describe how extraordinary this season is for him. Another 200-yard rushing performance, finished with 212 rushing yards, 1 rushing touchdown. Adrian Peterson, he's nearing, closing in on Eric Dickerson's all-time rushing record for single season back in 1984. He's only like 188 yards away from 2,000 yards on the year. I think it was his 8th straight game with 100 yards or more. Adrian Peterson, he's just absolutely incredible.
Peeking ahead to 2013, Bill. So fast forward to August. It's pretty much Foster and Peterson 1-2, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Although I will say this, and I said that about Chris Johnson a couple years ago when he ran for 2,000 yards. Whenever a running back ran for 2,000 yards in a season, the next season, the following year, they were remarkably
less efficient.
I'm talking like 800, 700 yards less efficient. Obviously, you don't expect the guy to get 2,000 yards again. But when you see him rush for 2,000, and then the next year only has like 1,200, 1,300, it's a little bit of
buzzkill. But if the season were to end today and there were no injuries, nothing on the offseason, you know, crazy going on, you know, and you're on the clock, if Arian Foster goes 1, who are you taking it to? You're taking Adrian Peterson. You've got to. Yeah. I mean, the guy's the bionic man. Just unbelievable. And, yeah, I played against him in one of my leagues. Did not go well.
Oof.
I was really hoping he'd have one just a stinker, finally, you know?
I played against him and Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, well, I played against him. I don't want to ruin the rest of our champs and chumps, but I played against a lot of champs, unfortunately, this week.
All right, the other running back champ we had was Alfred Morris of the Washington Redskins. 87 yards, 2 touchdowns. Alfred Morris, a rookie, 7th rounder. One of the best fantasy running backs this season. And then, of course, Chris Johnson on Monday night had 122 yards and a touchdown against the Jets. Did you see that 95-yard touchdown or 94-yard touchdown,
yep.
Chris Johnson? Ow, man, he showed his speed on that play.
That was the one play worth watching in that 60 minutes of awful football.
Oh, how about Mike Tirico's call at the end of the game?
Yeah.
That was great, wasn't it?
Well, he did it. You know, he did it earlier in the game too. I don't know if you caught it, but he said it, and I kind of did a double take right as they were going to a break. I think it was a bad punt by the Jets.
Yeah.
And he just kind of as they were fading away to commercial, he just goes, "A terrible punt during a terrible game." and then he had the quote at the end. What was the exact quote at the end?
The quote at the end was, I tweeted it out last night. It was something along the lines of terrible, ugly loss, or I'm trying to find exactly what I said. I said it last night. I tweeted it out. Is it fair that we can call Mike Tirico a friend of the show, right? We had him on last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, sure.
I think he was more than friendly with you, Bill.
He was very friendly with me. I'll tell you, I love him. Mike Tirico ripping the Jets. Here's what he said. That's the way this game should end. That's the way their season should end. Ugly and in a loss. It was great.
Good for Mike.
Yeah, good for Mike.
You know, because a lot of the announcers will try to sugarcoat anything. There was no sugarcoating that thing last night. I mean,
no, there wasn't.
What a way to end the season on Monday Night Football. I mean, that's just...
I realize we're doing the Week 15 chumps, but is it too early to put Greg McElroy on the QB chump list for next week? Because the Jets did just name him the starter. Here's the clip from Tirico. Low snap, kicked around, on the ground. That's the way this game should end. That's the way the Jets season should end. Ugly. Oh, man.
Oh.
You know, here's the thing about that last play. We're getting a little bit off track here, but that's fine. Monday Night Football, the Jets are fighting to keep their playoff hopes alive. The Titans, they forced the Titans to punt with a minute left. Right. It was like a 20-yard punt. The Jets get the ball back on the Titans, what was it, 25, 30-yard line?
Yeah, it was the 25, Bill.
So they had 50 seconds left. 25 yards to go, and
silver
all they
platter.
Needed was...
Right. Yeah.
And you know what they do on the first play of their series? He fumbles. So Tirico was right. It was an ugly play. It was an ugly season, and they did deserve to lose.
Oh, man.
And now they're starting Greg McElroy at quarterback in Week 16 against the Chargers.
Yeah.
You know, Patriot fans must love it. Not only... Yeah, listen, Patriots lost against a really good 49ers team on Sunday night. But when you see the Monday night game, you know, it kind of takes the pain away a little bit.
I will say this. I have to say this. Kevin, I don't know if we have any data on this or not. This might take a while to research. But during the Patriots' run here this past decade, I mean, their division has just been awful. I mean, really.
To be fair, the Jets did go to back-to-back conference championship games.
That was a fraud.
I'm just saying.
I agree. I'm just saying over the course of the, you know, the decade, there really hasn't been. I mean, if that's the stiffest competition there's been, I mean, I can't think of a good.
No, and that I agree. I mean, the other year when Brady was hurt in 2008, the Dolphins and the Jets and the Patriots all finished at 11-5, I believe. And the Patriots lost the tiebreaker.
Right.
I think the Dolphins and the Jets both got in that year. That's really the only other year that stands out where, you know, at least one other team in the division had a really good record. So
right.
I definitely feel you on that, Todd. I definitely feel you.
I was just thinking back. Somebody did an article on the Eagles and the Philadelphia Eagles when they had that nice run for 5, 6, 7 years. And the thing about it was that the NFC East was just god awful during that
right.
run. And, yeah, the Eagles were pretty good and all that, but the competition was awful. So I don't know why I'm even talking about that right now. Maybe we should get back to our champs and jumps. We're really off track. But I'm just trying to think back to, you know, the Jets. I mean, they're going to have to rebuild again. They're just going to be – they're going to be – I mean, does Rex Ryan have a job this offseason?
It might be his last one. Might be his last year.
Are you going to give him one more year?
One more year.
To what, start over with a new quarterback?
You know –
what are they going to do?
Well, I think the GM's got to go. I think O Tannenbaum, you know. O Tannenbaum. I know.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas carol, but anyway. So I think he's got to go. And then I think if I were them, I'd give Rex a shot with a new GM and probably a legitimate new quarterback. And then I just think that he still brings a lot, you know, intensity. His defenses are always great. I just think that there is merit, and he has shown what he can do. I mean, he brought two teams to conference championship games back-to-back years. I think he has been failed by his GM and his quarterback. That's just my opinion. And I hate Rex, so you know, I'm not
an
apologist.
Todd, you said you're going to keep Rex Ryan around with a new quarterback. It doesn't have to be a rookie quarterback. There are some pretty, you know, viable candidates out there as free agent
Flacco,
veterans.
Flacco, Fitzpatrick?
I was going to say Mike Vick or Alex Smith.
Alex Smith. So Alex Smith, Vick, Flacco, Fitzpatrick are probably the four out there, right?
Right.
Hell, even Chad Henne's better than Sanchez.
I can see the Jets going after Vick. They want to fill those seats.
Oh, God. That would be a very Jets-like move, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would ruin, that would spoil our Jaguar trifecta.
Our Jaguars.
Mike, right? Vick, Mike Vick, Tim Tebow, and Geno Smith.
No, Colin Klein,
man.
Oh, Colin Klein. I'm sorry. Yeah, Colin Klein. Yeah.
The triple threat running quarterbacks with under Chip Kelly, new head coach.
Under Chip Kelly, yeah, the new head coach, right. Yeah, that would put an end to our Jaguars' strategy.
Hey, why don't we circle back to champs and chumps?
Wide receiver champs. Andre Johnson from the Houston Texans. Did I skip the running back chumps? No, I skipped the running back chumps. We got to name these guys because there's three major studs on this list. Jamaal Charles, 10 rushing yards, 18 receiving yards. Doug Martin, 16 rushing yards, 19 receiving yards. Ray Rice, 38 rushing yards, 3 receiving yards. All three of those running backs are top 15. Doug Martin and Ray Rice in the top 5, and they let fantasy managers down in a major way in week 15. Awful, awful timing for those guys to put up stinkers of a game.
Yeah, again, Doug Martin against the Saints. That's a great matchup. Charles against the Raiders. I mean, Doug Martin, he's kind of hit the wall here a little bit.
He has.
Three out of the last four games, 50 rushing yards, 56 rushing yards, 128 against the Eagles, and then 16. So three out of his last four games. Yeah, he's put touchdowns up in there, though. But I don't know. He's kind of slowing down a little bit.
You know what? It's rookie year. He's got 1,200 yards on the season, 11 touchdowns if you include his receiving totals. He's got another 400 in receiving yards. He's having quite the rookie season. If it wasn't for Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, and RG3, I'd give the rookie of the year award to Doug Martin.
Yeah, he's right up there. Yep.
All right, running back champs, we did those. Wide receiver champs, how about Andre Johnson, 11 receptions, 151 yards and a touchdown. Eric Decker from the Broncos, 8 grabs, 133 yards. Hate to say this one, Patriot fans, but Michael Crabtree, 107 yards and 2 touchdowns on Sunday night in New England. And then Brandon Lloyd, 10 grabs, 190 yards, is the best game of his season.
Yeah, how about it?
I mean, Lloyd had a great game, very quietly had a great game.
Quietly? What do you mean quietly?
I mean, you look at the stat line at the end of the game, and all of a sudden you see Brandon Lloyd, 190 yards. You know, he did it over a course of 10 grabs. It wasn't like he had a lot of 60-yard, 70-yard plays.
He had a 53-yarder.
Yeah, 53-yarder.
He also drew like a 50-yard pass interference call, which stood out.
Yeah, he did. I don't know. Yeah, it seemed to me like he was – I was like, man, he's finally having that game that we've been waiting for months. Well, last week he was all right, you know, 7 catches, 89 yards and a touch last week. But it seemed to me every time he threw the ball, he had 16 freaking targets.
Hernandez had 19.
Now, I will agree with Bill here in terms of being quiet. With 150 more yards in the next two games, so if he gets 150 more yards over 2 weeks, he becomes an 1,000-yard receiver.
Right.
And, you know, I never would have thought he would have got 1,000 yards this year.
I don't know. There's something about that game when I was watching it, and then I looked at the stats at the end of the game. I was like, wow, Lloyd really had that 190 yards. That's a lot of yards, Todd.
It is.
I
know he caught a lot of passes. And I know he picked up, you think he maybe, he had a good game, 120 yards, 10 grabs. It was 190.
Yeah, I don't know. As the game was progressing, I was just like, man, he's just the go-to guy tonight. I mean, Welker only had 5 catches for 56 yards.
You know, I could have had blinders on during that game because my opponent had Tom Brady, I had Wes Welker and Aaron Hernandez, and all the passes were going to Brandon Lloyd, so maybe I was just, you know, downplaying it in my head.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but it just seemed like everything was going to. I mean, everything was going to Lloyd. So, good game for Lloyd, and again, hopefully, he's a guy that people put in their lineups. I'm not sure how many people put him in there this week with everything on the line.
Right, it was a tough San Francisco defense. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
All right, how about the wide receiver chumps? Not used to hearing this guy's name, Demaryius Thomas. Only 13 receiving yards. Now it's funny because Eric Decker, his teammate, was on the champ list.
Yep.
Demaryius Thomas on the chump list. That doesn't happen very often.
No. And I have, naturally, I had Demaryius Thomas in a couple of leagues. So.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Reggie Wayne from the Colts, only 14 receiving yards, and Roddy White from the Falcons, 16 receiving yards. Now, Matt Ryan of the Falcons had an incredible game against the Giants. 270 yards, 3 touchdowns. His number one, maybe you can make the argument he's the number two behind Julio Jones now, only had 16 receiving yards when Matt Ryan had 270 and 3. How does that happen?
I don't know, man. A weird and wacky game. That's how,
yeah,
I mean, just a weird, weird game. That one made no sense to me at all. I mean, the Falcons got up 17-0. I was kind of licking my chops as a guy who I had a bunch of Giants on my fantasy teams. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to get some great garbage time points here.
Yeah, you got nothing.
Game. Yeah, Victor Cruz, nothing.
I know. All right, tight end champs, Dennis Pitta from the Baltimore Ravens. What a game he had. 125 receiving yards, 2 receiving touchdowns. Those were like Gronk numbers.
Yeah, and they were... This is the one, Bill. I'll
start
garbage
numbers
now.
Too.
This is the one, Bill. Remember last week I talked about that one playoff where I was in where the commissioner screwed up?
Right.
And he set the playoffs so that that weeks 14 and 15 combined together.
Right, okay? Right. And to make one semifinal.
Yeah, yeah. And just one giant week.
Yeah.
Well, so the first half of the week, I won, all right? I was up on this guy. And then I found out the rule that it actually combines 2 weeks in a row.
Right.
So what I say on the air last week is, oh, I'm obviously now what's going to happen is this guy's going to come back and beat me.
Oh,
so here's what he did. Pitta. So this guy, he had a Pettigrew as his tight end.
Yeah.
And he got hurt. Playing.
Right.
So Pitta was out there on the waiver wire. So he picks up Pitta. And then he picks up the Bengals defense.
Oh.
The Bengals defense... And Pitta single-handedly totally destroyed me.
Now, here's the thing. If you're going to do a two-week playoff, I think he should have the same players in both of those weeks. He shouldn't be able to change them week to week.
I don't know. Exactly. It's all messed up. Very frustrating. Frustrating. But I have to say this. I mean, Pitta was the last guy I was worried about on his team. You know?
And he ended up being the best.
And if you look at that game, they were both trash touchdowns.
Yeah.
He scored in both in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway. If you started Pitta, bravo, you probably won your game because in my league, in a PPR, 38 points from Pitta.
Oof, man. Yeah, Dennis Pitta, definitely the tight end champ. Tight end chump, Vernon Davis has been a tight end chump pretty much all season long. Last 5 weeks, he's had, what, 2 fantasy points, a total of 2 fantasy points? He's just a total of 3 fantasy points in his last 5 weeks. That includes 2 games of 0 points.
How about it? I mean, they score 41 points.
He's just not involved in their offense. We saw Delanie Walker, the other tight end, score the touchdown. It wasn't even Davis. Something happened there. Maybe it's because Vernon Davis came out and publicly said Alex Smith should still be our quarterback. And maybe Colin Kaepernick is just not targeting him for whatever reason, or he's in Jim Harbaugh's doghouse. I don't know what's going on. But something's happening to Vernon Davis, and fantasy football managers are really feeling the brunt of it.
Even your boy Jermichael Finley had a better day.
I left Finley off this list today because he did all right.
5 catches for 61 yards.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, I think that most people, hopefully out there, had already benched Vernon Davis prior to this week.
I would think so.
I didn't have him in any leagues this year for some reason. I didn't get him, but if I had him, I would have given up on him weeks ago.
All right, so that was the champs and chumps from week 15. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll break down the Patriots and Jaguars game from a fantasy football angle, and we want to hear from you. We want to help everyone win their fantasy football championship here in week 16. 508-298-0398 is the number. You can dial us or just send us an email, webradio@patriots.com. That's all coming up next right here, Patriots.com Radio.
From your fantasy football draft to the league championship, the fantasy football champs have you covered.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Rooting for the Patriots is great.
Woo!
Rooting for one specific Patriots player because he's on your fantasy football team? Well, that's just spectacular.
Brady on first down, play action, shoots it down the field, wide open, Gronkowski touchdown. That was like stealing. I mean, he was wide open.
It's time for the Patriots Fantasy Spotlight on Fantasy Football Champs.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Football Champs. Hanging out, Bill and Todd with you. Kevin Collins as well. Our producer does a great job, and he usually helps us out a lot during this segment because who knows the Patriots better than Kevin? I mean, he's at every game almost, and he gets a first-hand view of all the action, right, Kev?
Yeah, they call me Scoops Collins over here.
Now, here's how about this scoop? I want a scoop on Rob Gronkowski. He was practicing last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think
what's the status for this week?
This is just my hypothesis here. I think if the Patriots had beat the 49ers,
he'd be in.
He might have a better chance to play. I just don't see him playing this week off one day of practice last week. I just think there's too much to lose and not enough to gain at this point.
Of course.
And that's just my take on it. And I hope to God he doesn't play. And it's one of those things where, you know, if you want to get him a few series in that Dolphins game at the end of the year just to get the blood flowing and get him back in, running around a little bit, that's, you get him hit a couple times, that's fine. But I'd, you know, prefer to see him used sparingly and use him when it really counts, because don't forget, guys, he had a lot of other issues going on other than that forearm. He had a hip.
He had an ankle.
He had, and, you know, there were portions of games here right before he went on the shelf where it almost looked like it was painful for him to walk around and get back in the huddle.
Yeah.
And the scary part is, I almost wanted to mention this earlier in the show, but you mentioned Wes Welker and how quiet he was the other night. You know, watching him move around, you know, and a couple people mentioned this that were at the game in the stands to me, a couple buddies and some family. It just looks painful for him. He jogs really lightly back to the huddle, and he kind of favors that gimpy ankle. He just doesn't look right. And to be honest, guys, I might even go a step further and say, you know what, why not shelf Welker as well as Gronk and just get him some time?
That's why I don't like fantasy football championships that go to week 17.
No, and I hear you. It's just a matter of I just think that, you know, you're going to have to go on the road pretty much. Odds are, you know, there's probably a better than 75% chance at this point, maybe even, you know, 80 or 90% chance that you're going to have to go on the road after that first game if, you know, they're able to advance. So if you know that and you're pretty much resigned to that fact, why not, like, put your best foot forward in that game and have all your horses healthy and ready to go? But that's just my opinion.
I hear you, but there's two games left in the season. And they're only one game behind Denver. They own the tiebreaker.
I just think that expecting or kind of, you know, I can't look ahead and envision them losing to Cleveland or Kansas City at home. You know, both those games are home. Now, if, you know, Denver went to Kansas City a few weeks ago and it was a 17-9 ball game. It was really ugly. The Chiefs got in the red zone several times but couldn't execute and put up 7 points. They scored 3 field goals in that game, if you remember. And I just can't envision that team led by Brady Quinn going into Denver and winning, and I just can't envision. I mean, the Browns have – I don't know what you guys think about the Browns. I think they're 5-9. They probably won more games than a lot of people thought they were going to.
Yeah.
And, you know, Whedon's shown some flashes. Trent Richardson's had his days. But I just – that's another team that I can't envision them going into Mile High when Denver has so much to play for and has won 9 games in a row. And has, you know, arguably the MVP on, you know, quarterback in that team. There's just so much to play for. The stakes are so high. I can't imagine them overlooking either of those two teams.
No, I agree with you. I think that you're probably right. Spot on. 75-80% chance they're going to win those two games. And you know, if you do sit down Welker in the next week or two, you're still a good chance you're going to win your next two games anyway.
I agree with you, Todd. And to be honest with you, and this is a point that I brought up earlier today on Patriots.com radio, I kind of got laughed at a little bit. But when you're looking at the scenario, right? Now, Todd just mentioned, you know, probably 75-80% chance or better the Patriots don't get this bye. Now, if you're looking for a possible avenue for them to get it, you need Denver to lose a game and you to win two, or you need Houston to lose both games and you to win two. Now, Houston plays one game at home against Minnesota, who had a very impressive win last week. And, Adrian Peterson's looked great. And then they go on the road to Indy. Now, Indy played Houston pretty tough in Houston this past week. I'm sure you guys saw a lot of that game with Luck and all that. But I just think that you can almost make the argument that even though the chances are slim, the hope is slim, you can
better
make an argument that they have a better chance of catching Houston. Now, I got laughed at a little bit for making that argument, but that's just something that I thought of, you know, doing my show prep today. It's an outside the box idea, and I think you can make an argument for it. I don't know that there's a lot there to support it, because a team has to lose, you know, basically double the amount of games in 2 weeks.
Right.
I mean, Houston would have to lose as many games as they've lost all year long.
Agreed. But they also, you know, I'm just, you know, just spitting out stuff here. I mean, Denver has both those games at home. Houston at least has to go on the road to, you know, a relatively quality Indianapolis team that's still playing for their lives. By the way, they're going to have everything to play for probably.
I just think that I agree with you. It's not completely crazy on your part, but in the NFL, teams stumble all the time, and they've won 9 in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, one of these weeks, something's going to go wrong, and I agree with you. These two teams are terrible, and they have to go to Mile High.
But I think you made a great point, though, Todd. From a fantasy perspective, you know, in a football perspective, it's going to kill you if you sit out, you know, if you don't bring Gronk back where you normally would have if you have something to play for. That hurts guys that have Gronk. It hurts guys that have Welker. You know, and if you don't have Gronk and Welker and they choose to sit those players for one, if not two games, then that hurts Brady if you got him too, you know? But I think that you made a great point, Todd, where the Patriots can, you know, because of their schedule here the last couple weeks, I think they can still kind of monkey around a little bit, get some guys some rest, and still win those games.
I agree. I mean, their schedule is pretty much just as easy as Denver's. You can make the argument.
I'm with you.
So, all right. So, Bill, are you still there?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, that was a good little Todd and Kev segment.
A little bonding.
Yeah.
Kev and Todd bonding.
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry.
All right, so Patriots-Jags, talking about that Patriots rest of the way schedule, they get the Jaguars this week.
Really? All right.
Now, this is tricky because I wouldn't be you have to start Tom Brady, quarterback, right?
Yep.
Got him ranked fourth.
Ranked fourth. He had 443 yards, passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown. And by the way, how many fantasy managers lost last week when Tom slid at the half-yard line?
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about that. It didn't faze me. I lost by more than 6 points in the league I had Brady in. But remember the one where he easily could have scored, but he kind of just slid? And,
right.
You know what I'm talking about? And it's where you start your slide. So he could have had easily two rushing touchdowns. But, you know, you got to start Tom Brady, agreed?
Yes.
Against the Jags, and give me a break. You're starting him. The question I have is at running back, which is what I want to get into, Ridley.
You know, Bill. Is he in Bill Belichick's doghouse for fumbling? Because we saw a lot of Danny Woodhead after that play.
Yeah, we did.
Ridley had two touchdowns, and Woodhead had two touchdowns, and didn't really see Ridley on the field too much.
Nine rushes, 23 yards for Ridley.
He should have been on the chumps list this week.
Yeah, he should have.
Running back chump list. Because he got 0 points in a lot
of games. We weren't that high on him playing against the Niners anyway.
No, we were not.
But still, he was pretty awful.
You don't expect 0 points, though.
And then when you see Woodhead, you know, productive. Mr. Wood had 5 catches, 23 yards, 12 rushes, 61 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, not bad.
If I'm a Ridley owner, I'm pretty concerned this week.
You know, I have Ridley ranked 12th. The running backs against the Jaguars are having some of their best games all year. They're allowing 25 fantasy points to running backs in 2 of their last 3 games. So I still have faith in Ridley. He's ranked in the top 15. I have Woodhead ranked 38th. Shane Vereen ranked 39th only because you never know with the Patriots. You never know which running back is really going to be in action. Especially when one of them is in the doghouse.
I'd still be really worried if I was relying on Ridley in my fantasy championship game.
He's not going to play a lot?
I'm just worried. I don't think he's going to have 100 yards and a touchdown like he had been doing all year long. I'm worried about it. I think that those fumbles came at a really bad time for him as we head into the playoffs here. He's got to get that shored up really quick. I would rely on Ridley more as a flex than an RB2 if it was
all
me.
Right.
Expectation-wise, I mean, it depends on who else you have on your roster, but I would keep my expectations in check.
How about the wide receivers? I got Wes Welker ranked 9th at ffchamps.com. Pretty quiet game against the 49ers, but you know what? He did make it to 100 receptions for the 5th time in his career, and that's pretty remarkable.
Yes, it is. And we have him ranked 9th this week?
Yeah, 9th.
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, based upon our previous conversation, unless something, you know, transpires on the injury front, you know, he's a must-start.
How about Brandon Lloyd? Really good game, 190 yards, 10 receptions last week. I have him ranked, I believe, 26th this week.
Really? That's pretty low.
Low?
Meaning he should be in higher. You should have more confidence.
24th. I have him ranked 24th.
Right.
You know, I mean, I do my wide receiver rankings every week, and I always say, "Wow, how is this guy so low?" And then I look at the guys ahead of him.
Right.
And I'm like, "Well, you know what? That kind of makes sense, I guess."
Yeah, he's been hot the last couple of weeks. You know, like we said, 7 catches, 87 yards and a touchdown 2 weeks ago, and then you know he blew up the Niners the other night. I'm feeling good about Lloyd here. Moving on.
Listen,
you
know, I have him ranked 24th. That's a number 2 wide receiver in a 12-team league.
Makes sense. Okay.
That's what he is, right?
I've done plenty of rankings like you, my friend. I know exactly what you're talking about. You go, how do I have him there? And then you go, oh, well, I got this guy 23, this guy 22.
Exactly.
You kind of got to settle him in there somewhere. You can shuffle him around a little bit. He's probably in a big tier of players that are all in that.
That is correct, sir.
Type of guys.
That is correct.
Okay.
All right, wide receiver Aaron Hernandez, he's been on fire. I have him ranked 1st this week. Major part of the offense, 19 targets.
Loved
against
it.
The San Francisco 49ers.
He 10 dropped receptions, a few passes.
92 yards and a touchdown. Well, he had 19 targets and he only had 10 receptions. So
he had a little butterfingers there.
Couple plays.
If you recall, he got smoked on that illegal hit to the head when he was going down the seam there.
Yep.
And after that play, I think he heard footsteps. And I think pretty much on that same possession is when he bobbled that ball that I think was it Alden Smith that ended up picking it off?
Or? Yep.
Yeah.
So that I think that we had that discussion earlier. That's a play that, you know, that illegal hit or whatever, that, you know, the penalty shows up, but the effects of it don't show up in the stat
sheet.
Last
a lot longer.
Yeah, but it was clearly, you know, that made him think about going across the middle. And then when he got that ball thrown a little out of his reach and he had to reach for it, all of a sudden that becomes a tip ball and a tip drill. And we all know how good the 49ers are in that situation. So
I can't blame Hernandez for being a little short-armed. No. Can't blame him for that.
I mean, Kevin, obviously you were there. To me, and this is probably stating the obvious, but if Michael James doesn't return that thing 60 yards, I mean, I think if it's just a normal kickoff return, the Patriots win that game.
If that's a touchback or they get a holding call or something and they're at the 10, I think they're cooked.
Yep.
And, and to be honest, 31-3, I'll fully admit I thought the game was over. And then once it was 31-31, I fully admit I thought the game was over for the other side.
Yeah. Right.
So it was just, it was one of those crazy games. And from a neutral perspective, guys, I think the fans all over the country probably really enjoyed that football game.
Yeah, it was one of the best.
Those
games
who didn't turn it off.
Year.
Totally agree, because I don't know. You're right. 31-3. It was. You thought it was over, but there's a lot of fantasy ramifications.
Right.
For those of us that own Tom Brady, I was kind of licking my chops. I'm like, well, he should get a few touchdowns here when they go into a softer defense. And once I got to 31-17, honestly, the way the Niners were playing on offense, I was like, I think the Patriots can come back here, man. I really did. When it was 31-17 is when I thought the Patriots could actually win the game. Hmm. And if it wasn't for that kickoff return, I think they would have won it. I really think they would have. I don't know, man. But I think the Patriots, all in all, I wouldn't be too concerned if I'm a Patriots fan. Honestly, like, I don't think that was a game that concerns me too much. Honestly, I really don't. They made a lot of mistakes in that game.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was
the
weather or
what. Let's look at the Jaguars from a fantasy perspective. Chad Henne got him ranked 22nd. Patriots defense giving up the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks. The running back situation for Jacksonville is a mess. Starting a guy, Montel Owens, I have him ranked 30th. Listen, he's their fourth string running back. Maurice Jones-Drew, Rashad Jennings, Jalen Parmalee were all listed ahead of him on the depth chart. So don't go crazy with this guy. I know he had 91 yards and a touchdown in Week 14. That was against an awful Jets team. Came back to earth in Week 15, 47 yards on 11 carries. So Montel Owens is not a guy that I would suggest putting in your lineups this week.
No, wide receivers, here's where you might be starting somebody from the Jags, right? I mean, hopefully in your fantasy championship game, you're not relying on freaking Montel Owens.
No.
Right? But you probably are going to be relying on Cecil Shorts, wide receiver.
Absolutely.
Back from concussion. He put up 6 receptions, 101 yards last week against Miami. And, you know, he's been very consistent. He had a little blip on the radar there when he was injured with that concussion. But other than that, Bill, you were on him early this season, telling everybody to pick him up. And you were right. This guy's been very consistent. Probably one of the most pleasant surprises at the wide receiver position all year.
It seems to happen every year with wide receivers where one emerges from the waiver wire, and they're not just a guy you can plug in your lineup when the matchup's good. They're a guy like Victor Cruz from last year, Cecil Shorts this year. He's a guy that you can plug into your lineup, and he's going to get you double-digit fantasy points every single week. And other than that concussion that kept him out, 2 weeks ago,
yep.
He's a guy that had 4 straight games with a touchdown, over 100 yards in 3 of his last 5 games, or 4 of his last 5 games. He's been getting it done, and Chad Henne certainly looks to him a lot.
Yeah, and the other wide receiver that you might consider, I wouldn't, you know, feel nearly as good about it in your championship game, but that's Justin Blackmon.
Justin Blackmon, he started off rookie campaign very slowly, but he came on for the last game, 4 games, 6 catches, 93 yards in Week 15. It really, ever since that big game against the Houston Texans, it really comes down to Chad Henne being under center and not Blaine Gabbert.
Sure.
Ever since Chad Henne came back for the Jaguars and they started benching Blaine Gabbert or whatever, Gabbert got hurt, Blackmon has been playing really well, really well.
Yeah, he has. I'd still hopefully you aren't starting him in the league, though. Honestly, I wouldn't want to rely on him unless you're in a really deep league.
Yeah.
No? You disagree?
12 team league. I'm starting Justin Blackmon as my third wide receiver. Third.
Okay. That makes some sense. I mean, Patriots defense, obviously they give a lot of passing yards, so but I feel much better with Cecil Shorts in there. Where do you have Cecil Shorts ranked this week?
Cecil Shorts is ranked 21st.
Okay.
20th, I'm sorry, 20th. Right. Blackman right behind him, 22nd.
Tight end position, Bill, Mercedes Lewis. We have him ranked 16th this week.
Get him out of your line. I wouldn't even bother mentioning his name.
All right. Patriots are allowing the third most fantasy points to tight ends.
They are. But you know what? Mercedes Lewis, if you plan on starting him in your championship game, then you've got some other problems to worry about, my friend.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying is, I think all in all with the Jags, I think other than Cecil Short, hopefully I don't have to start any of these guys. That's just my personal opinion. Hopefully I've got better options.
I think Shorts or Blackman are both viable starters this week.
Okay.
I do. If you're in a PPR league, I think either of them or both of them are capable of 6 catches, 90 yards, and one of them will get a touchdown. One of them.
There you go. All right.
When we come back, we'll touch on the injury report and waiver wire for Week 16. Plus, we'll be taking your telephone calls, 508-298-0398, and, of course, answering your emails, webradio@patriots.com. That's all coming up next right here on the Fantasy Football Champs. You're listening to Patriots.com Radio.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Player rankings, injury updates, and waiver wire advice. The Fantasy Football Champs cover it all right here on Patriots.com.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com radio. Want to address all of your emails, all of your questions. We want to help you win your championship, the bragging rights, your trophy, and if you're playing for some money, some of those dollar bills, y'all. So web radio at Patriots.com is how you can reach us. You can also dial in
Straight Cash
Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. I missed it. What did it say?
Kevin. Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, who writes checks these days? Straight cash, homie.
That's right.
All right, so what do you say? First email of the day is from Nick M., a.k.a. Bodog, and he wants to know if he should bench Matt Ryan this weekend, Todd. I don't understand this question. He has Colin Kaepernick on the bench, who's playing against Seattle. Tough matchup.
Yeah.
No one, even Tom Brady struggled in Seattle. I'm sure Colin Kaepernick will do the same. I'm playing Matt Ryan against the Detroit Lions. Why wouldn't he?
I don't understand that either. You know, we say start your studs, and this is not a time to bend. He's worrying about Ryan, I guess, maybe like taking a seat at halftime.
That's not happening.
Yeah, I agree. I'm playing Matt Ryan here. If Kaepernick was playing, you know, the Lions, like
yeah.
Atlanta is, maybe you'd have an argument, you know?
Right.
But he's got to go up to, as you say, Bill, up to Canada.
Yeah,
to play Seattle, basically. And that's a terrible place to play. That's going to be a low-scoring game. It's going to be a very entertaining close game, I imagine. But it's probably the first 1-17 is going to win that one.
Yeah.
And, no, I'm playing Matt Ryan in the Dome against the terrible Lions, who the
Absolutely.
Cardinals just trashed last week. No, Absolutely. Lions have nothing to play for. I'm going Matt Ryan.
All right, Mike in Maryland sent us a screenshot of his team. Now, he's got Tom Brady, Marshawn Lynch, Trent Richardson. Love that
nice
trio right there. Wide receivers, Victor Cruz, Randall Cobb. He's got Hernandez, so he's got a nice quarterback to tight end combo. Jamal right. Charles in the flex. Patriots on the defense, and Jason Hansen is his kicker. Now, he sent us also his bench players. He wants to know who he should swap out, if anyone.
Okay.
And he's got Brandon Lloyd sitting on the bench. Greg Olsen and Stevie Johnson are really the only viable fantasy participants on his bench. So Brandon Lloyd, Greg Olsen, and Stevie Johnson. Todd, should he swap out anyone from his starting lineup and switch them with these guys that are on his bench?
All right, so basically he's probably trying to ask us whether he wants us to bench Cruz or Jamal Charles.
Right.
Because Cruz was terrible last week, and Jamal Charles was terrible last week.
And Randall Cobb was great.
Yeah, he's got Charles in the flex. You know, Cruz is one of his wide receivers. That's a tough call, Bill. Cruz really disappointed me last week.
In a big way.
He killed me, quite frankly. He killed me in the PPR league. So I'm a little hesitant there, and I just sang the praises of Lloyd in the previous segment, you know, and I like the matchup there, and Welker's a little dinged up against Jacksonville. If it's anybody, it's Lloyd that I'm going to try to get in there.
All right, so you're not putting in CB Johnson.
I don't think so.
All right, so maybe Lloyd for Cruz or Jamal Charles. Now, Jamal Charles is playing the Indianapolis Colts, the Chiefs, may start Ricky Stanzi at quarterback. Apparently Brady Quinn wasn't doing a good enough job. I'm shocked to hear that. But Jamaal Charles only got the ball 9 times last week. And all of a sudden, Jamaal Charles becomes a very pedestrian fantasy
football performer. Is this a PPR league?
He doesn't say.
If it's a PPR league, I'm putting Lloyd in there. I'm getting Charles out.
But if it's not, you're leaving Charles in.
I think so.
I'm going to disagree with you there. I think Charles should remain in the lineup. They're playing against Indianapolis. If he wants to put in Brandon Lloyd, I would take out Victor Cruz.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying in a PPR league, man, I mean.
Jamaal Charles catches passes.
Not anymore. Yeah, not from Ricky Stanzi.
I guess not.
I hear you. That's a tough call. I mean, you know, we like to stick with our studs wherever we can. I'm just looking at Greg Lloyd PPR the last couple of weeks, man. You know, he had
Greg Lloyd.
He had 21 and 29 fantasy points last 2 weeks in PPR. Brandon Lloyd. So
you're leaving Aaron Hernandez in, right? Not swapping him out for Greg Olsen. Got to leave in Hernandez. He's been so hot, and you got the quarterback.
Of course, that's a no brainer. That's a no-brainer. Now, like I said, the only possible guy I would consider is Lloyd. If you're feeling good about Lloyd and his PPR, I might get Jamaal Charles out of there. A lot of this depends on who your opponent has, too, Bill.
You know, Lloyd!
I mean, we don't get to see that side of it, but if you need the big home run hitter, maybe you keep Jamaal Charles in there.
Right.
If you're looking for consistency in a PPR, you got to figure Lloyd's at worst going to get like 6 catches for 70 yards.
Right.
Right? Which is 13 points in a PPR.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking about. So for Nick, is it who was it? Nick or Mike?
Mike
Maryland. C.
Mike Maryland. Yeah.
You know, kind of also depends on who your opponent has and what you think you need to do. I like the rest of his lineup. It's solid.
Yeah, I think he'll win.
He should. That's a really solid lineup. So he should be good either way.
All right, how about our next emailer? By the way, webradio@patriots.com if you want us to help us out with some of your fantasy football questions. Todd, did you see Jeff K's email? He doesn't know who he's playing yet in the championship because his opponent's tied. And he's in a fractional league, 124.56 for both teams. I don't know if I've ever seen that happen before in the fantasy football semifinals when decimals are involved. Both teams have 124.56. That's incredible. They're waiting on a stat correction to see who's going to make it to the championship.
Good Lord.
Oof. Can you imagine the drama?
The drama. The only thing about it would be interesting to know if there was any – in that game, if anybody had anyone on the Jets or Titans, which is probably pretty doubtful.
Right.
Could you imagine? Like, you just need one more yard from Chris Johnson, let's say, or something. You know what I mean? One more yard. That's all you need.
Or catch. Oh, or catch for no yards.
Brutal. All right, so he's waiting to see who his lineup is, but what's he got? What's his dilemma?
All right, so he's in a PPR league. We have to pick two of these running backs.
Okay.
Reggie Bush, Jaquiz Rogers, Montel Owens, or Curtis Brinkley, who we're going to get to in a little bit when we go over our waiver wire pickups.
All right, what's your gut feeling on that?
Well, it's a PPR league, so I like Jaquiz Rogers and Reggie Bush.
Agreed.
Okay. He also needs two of these tight ends and one for his flex, Brandon Lloyd, Eric Decker, Pierre Garçon, Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton.
I like the top three.
Brandon Lloyd, Decker, Garçon. Decker, and Garçon. You're leaving Antonio Brown and T.Y. on the bench?
Probably.
All right, I like that.
Yeah, PPR, T.Y. Hilton I love, but he's a big play threat. You know, 2 catches, 70 yards and a touchdown, something like that is usually his stat line, right, where I think the other three guys can catch a lot of balls. So PPR league, I'm going to go with those other three.
All right, email from Mike P. Main question is his running back two and his flex. He has Ahmad Bradshaw, Darren Sproles, Jonathan Dwyer, and Montel Owens at running back. Typically, he's been going with the running back, which we tend to suggest for the flex spot. But he also has Stevie Johnson, who's been putting up some numbers. So, you know, what do we suggest that he goes with here for his flex? Should we tell him to go with Stevie Johnson? Ahmad Bradshaw has been banged up. We're not sure if he's clear yet to play. Darren Sproles has 3 touchdowns in his last 2 games. Jonathan Dwyer hasn't been doing a whole lot. And then that 4th string running back, Montel Owens from the Jaguars.
Montel Owens. So one? Only have to pick one of these guys?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Well, Montel Owens is out.
Mm-hmm.
Is this PPR?
He does not say, unfortunately. Right.
Stevie J last week against Seattle, Bill.
Yeah.
8 catches, 115 yards, and a touchdown.
Solid game.
solid. The week before, 6 catches, 71 yards.
Another solid game.
Yeah, he's solid. He's had a couple stinkers, but mostly he's going to get you in a non-PPR. He's going to get you between 8 and 13 fantasy points.
Which is decent.
This last week, this 8 for 115 and a touch was actually his best game of the year, fantasy-wise.
All right.
So he's going to get you, 10, 11 points, which is not, not bad.
Do you think that has any coincidence that the game was a home game for Buffalo, but they played it inside a dome in Toronto?
What do you mean?
Well, I've been telling you, the winter's been coming in Buffalo all year long, and now they have a home game finally, but it's in a dome, so the weather conditions didn't matter.
Buffalo.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with Buffalo?
Move to Canada. Deport them.
Yeah, they've got to travel down from Canada down to Miami for this one, Bill. I don't know. What do you think? Do you like – I know you're a Sproles guy.
I love Darren Sproles. I think he has to be in the lineup. They're playing against the Dallas Cowboys this weekend. They always get him involved near the red zone. If it's a PPR league, it's a no-brainer to me. If it's not a PPR league, I would go with Stevie Johnson as long as Ahmad Bradshaw is not healthy.
I agree. I'm with you 100% there. And, hey, by the way, a few weeks ago, we were – when Darren Sproles hurt his hand, we thought he was done for the year.
What a comeback.
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, he's been pretty solid, beyond solid. Thank goodness we advised everyone to just hang on to him just to see what was going to happen.
Right.
Because he's had a couple solid games in here. Again, especially if you're in a PPR league.
In a PPR league, he's great. Excellent flex option every single week.
Right.
All right, you mentioned that Darren Sproles was injured a couple weeks ago. What do you say we go over the players that are injured heading into Week 16? It's time for bumps and bruises. Do you really
want to hurt me? Probable?
It is what it is.
Questionable?
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
Doubtful? Are any of your players on this week's injury report? It's time for bumps and bruises.
All right, this may be the shortest injury report of the year, Todd. We'll start it off with quarterbacks. Robert Griffin III, RG3. Mike Shanahan says he's still waiting to hear from team doctors, and they'll let him know if they think he can play this weekend. He didn't play, obviously, in Week 15. We saw Kirk Cousins. But if he does play, he'll definitely have to wear a brace on his knee, and I wonder how much that will really limit his rushing ability.
I wonder as well. I have to admit, I was surprised he didn't play last week, Bill.
Am I surprised he didn't play last week?
Dude, they're right in the playoff hunt. They went on the granted they had to play Cleveland, but they had to go on the road, And
just because the game was so important, then yes, I am surprised that he didn't play last week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just for that reason, yeah.
And that's why.
But the injury is pretty serious.
Yeah,
typically players are out like 3 or 4 weeks.
That's why I'm completely up. I have no idea what's going to happen this week. That's my point. Okay. Because Kirk Cousins went in there and played great.
Yeah, he had a good game.
They're playing the Eagles, who are reeling. Nothing to play for. Playing spoiler role. They're on the road again. Divisional game. Everything's on the line. Now that the Giants lost, 3-way tie for first place in the NFC East. They control their destiny, correct?
Yeah.
So now there's even more on the line. And I have no idea what's going to happen here. I mean, I don't know. If I had to lead one way now I'm leaning Cousins is probably going to play.
It's funny because I remember back at the draft, we did a radio show during the NFL draft, and after the fourth round, or we did a recap of the second, third, and fourth round, and we said, what are the Redskins doing? They drafted a quarterback second overall. Why would they waste their fourth round pick on drafting another quarterback? And here's why. RG3 has been a bit injured this year. Kirk Cousins come in and he gets him a win.
Yeah, huge.
Smart move by Shanahan.
The rookie quarterbacks. The league is being taken over by rookie quarterbacks this year. So Bill, I have to ask you one way or the other. Do you think it's going to be Cousins starting or RG3 starting?
Cousins.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
And you know what? He did a fine job last week, so I don't think they'll need to rush RG3 back. I don't think they feel – if Cousins went out there, lost the game for them, threw 4 interceptions and was just atrocious, then I think they'd rush RG3 back, say, listen, we got to make the playoffs. You're our only hope. You're our franchise quarterback. That knee's got to be healthy. The O-line will block for you as best as they can. But Kirk Cousins did a great job. And because of that, I don't think RG3 – really is that concerned about rushing back into action. Of course, he wants to play. But he doesn't want to aggravate his injury.
It's a close one, man. I mean, I don't know. It's a close one. I mean, they've got the Eagles, and then they come home to play Dallas in a game that'll likely mean an awful lot in Week 17. So, man, if they're holding him out, he's obviously truly, truly injured. And obviously a reason they're holding him out, it could probably get worse.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll have to wait and see on that. It's only Tuesday, so it's a little early to be speculating. But right now, if you're asking us, we're probably assuming if you have RG3 on your fantasy team, you want to make sure you have a great backup lined up just in case he doesn't go, because it's a good chance he's not going to go.
Right. All right, let's move over to running back, Ryan Matthews.
Oh, man. See ya.
Broke his collarbone. This time he broke his left one. Now, if you remember back in the summer, he broke his right collarbone, kept him out the first couple games of the season. Now, Matthew's season is officially over with the broken left collarbone.
You know, going back to August, two guys fell in my lap in a couple of leagues, like ridiculously late. Like, I think fourth round for Larry Fitzgerald.
Right.
Third round, Ryan Matthews. Had to take him.
You had to.
Too good to be true.
Right.
Well. The rest is history.
Turns out it was too good to. There was
very
a reason
frustrating player.
Yeah.
Very, very frustrating player. I don't mean to wish ill will on him with an injured collarbone, but you know, just for those people that are out there, honestly, it's probably a relief to fantasy managers that they don't have to consider him. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Because he's one of those guys. He's on your roster. You feel like you got to play him because you know you invested a high pick in him.
Potential.
Yeah, he shows you glimpses, and he's just awful. Just awful.
He finished the season. Now, this is his season stats.
Right.
0 100-yard games and only one rushing touchdown.
Beautiful.
Oh, terrible. Just gross.
Yeah, yeah. Who else we got on the injury report? Let's get off Ryan Matthews, please.
LeSean McCoy from the Philadelphia Eagles has been out the last couple of games with a concussion. His head coach, Andy Reid, says that McCoy may, and I'm doing some air quotes, you can't really see me, but he may come back this week. There's a possibility, I'm guessing, that LeSean McCoy may be back in action.
Well, it's only Tuesday, but right now I wouldn't put too much faith in that quote.
Why would they bring him back?
No reason.
Eagles aren't fighting for a playoff spot. Bryce Brown hasn't been doing a whole lot. He started off on fire and then he cooled down in a big way. But what's the point of bringing McCoy back into action?
No point. So if you have McCoy and you're holding out hope that he's going to come back this week for your Super Bowl and fantasy, you know, go in another direction.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't just say that we're going to shelve him. I don't understand why they don't just say that. I don't know.
If you remember back to last year, the Minnesota Vikings were out of the playoff hunt. Adrian Peterson was out week 14 and 15, came back week 16, came back week 17, and then tore his ACL.
Yep.
I mean, that happened to work out fine for him, but, you know, you don't want to rush anyone back into action.
No, there's no point.
You risk injury.
Another NFC East running back, Bill, Ahmad Bradshaw. He says he'll be back this week. Do we believe him?
We never listen to what players say. We only listen to what head coaches and team doctors say. And right now, the Giants head coach, Tom Coughlin, doesn't think the doctors will clear Bradshaw. But again, it's only Tuesday. By Friday, they may change their mind and say, oh, you know what? He's looking better. The swelling went down in his knee. He's ready to play.
Now, let's just play the game that he's not going to play for kicks.
I love this game.
What did you see out of David Wilson last week? I know they got behind early.
Right.
You know, everyone was so high on David Wilson going into the weekend after his fantastic performance the week before. Hot waiver wire pickup. A lot of people depended on him in the playoffs last week. What's your take?
Yep. If he had more of a chance, I think the Giants had obviously that game is a bit of a unique situation. They scored 0 points in that game. They were down 34-0. I think if the Giants were in that game, score-wise, and they were fighting for a win, then I think Wilson would have been more involved. I mean, his average was very good. 12 carries for 55 yards. One catch for 11 yards. I think if the Giants had the ball more on offense and, you know, they were in that game, then Wilson would have been a lot more productive. They had some O-line injuries, and I think he looked good, but just given his limited amount of production in the game, or a limited amount of opportunities in the game, really limited his production. I'll put it that way.
Okay, so if Bradshaw is a no-go this week.
I'm still trusting David Wilson.
Okay, because you're thinking that in a normal game where he plays the majority of the snaps as the starting running back, you know, he has a good shot to amass over maybe 100 yards combined, something like that.
No, Sean Moreno ripped the Ravens in week 15. Ripped
them.
Over 100 yards and a touchdown. Right. And he hurdled Ed Reed, one of the best hurdles I've ever seen.
Yes, he did.
It wasn't like just a jump. Like, that was a legit hurdle. Leg extended, right leg off to the side, right over Ed Reed. Whoop, see you later.
All right, moving over to the wide receivers on the injury report, Bill.
Yeah.
Torrey Smith, concussion. Questionable for week 16.
Questionable against week 16, and he got his bell rung. Not on a hit, but it was more of him hit his head hitting the ground after a pass got broken up. So I'm not sure if Torrey Smith will be in action this week.
How about Jordy Nelson from the Packers?
You know, he may return this weekend against the Titans.
No!
What, you got Randall Cobb?
Everyone has Randall Cobb.
See, if you have Randall Cobb, your reaction is the same as Todd. You don't want to see Jordy Nelson back.
I have Randall Cobb. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to see it. Everything's just fine in Packer land. You know, you just keep it going. I want Randall to get his, you know, 10 to 12 targets.
That was such an instant and real reaction from you. That was great.
Rest him up. Rest up Jordy for the playoff run and the reality playoffs. Rest him up for the reality playoffs.
Well, you know what? The good news is that James Jones had 3 touchdowns last week. Randall Cobb had over 100 yards. So it's pretty clear to Mike McCarthy that he doesn't need, or Aaron Rodgers doesn't need Jordy Nelson back in the lineup. It's not like their offense is struggling. So that's good news for you.
By the way, James Jones, how many people had him on their bench?
I did too. Yeah, that's right.
What are you supposed to do?
12 touchdowns this year for James Jones.
I know.
Is that like ridiculous?
Well, you know, if you're in that Green Bay offense, someone's going to catch the touchdowns. It certainly isn't going to be your boy JerMichael Finley.
No, it's not.
And Greg Jennings has been out all year, and Nelson's been off, you know, out off and on. So Cobb and Jones are the two guys that have been in the lineup every week.
Yeah, true that. Also, Dez Bryant says he came away from that game against Pittsburgh, and his finger feels fine, if you remember back to last week. The big story about the injuries for wide receivers was Dez Bryant and whether or not he'd be able to play with that injury and his broken left index finger. But, hey, he looked fine, caught a touchdown pass, 60 yards or something like that. He had a good game, so that's good news if you plan on using Bryant in week 16.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have that explosive, crazy game. You know, I don't know if that's in him. I mean, he had, you know, 4 catches for 59 yards and a touch, which is fine.
Right.
But, you know, in the weeks prior, he was putting up ridiculous numbers.
Well, he is playing the Saints this weekend.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. We'll see. It seemed like he was favoring that hand quite a bit, but he was able to persevere through it, but it's definitely affecting his play.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, in week 13, he had 98 yards. The last 2 weeks, he's had only 190 yards.
Right.
109 yards. Right. So, yeah, his yardage total is basically in half the last 2 weeks since getting that injured finger.
Right.
I'm surprised Miles Austin didn't have a better game. You'd think that with Bryant a little bit banged up, Miles Austin would step up in a big way, and that didn't happen.
You know, Dwayne Harris caught 4 balls. The tight end, the backup tight end caught a couple. Tanner.
Yeah.
Witten had eight targets. DeMarco Murray caught 4 out of the backfield. You know, Beasley caught a couple. So they were all over the place. Even your favorite buddy.
Don't even tell him. Don't even say it.
The waiver wire catch of the year after week 1. Ogletree caught a ball.
This is terrible.
So, you know, they completed 30 passes in that kind of a crazy game there, and Dez only caught 4 of them. So, you know, other guys did step up. It just kind of was spread around a little bit. Like you said, Miles Austin only 7 catches for 79 yards. Not terrible.
Yeah, not terrible. Any tight ends that we need to report on for the injuries? Other than Brandon Pettigrew from the Detroit Lions, I'm pretty sure all the tight ends are good to go. And, of course, we'll update you as the, or at least on ffchamps.com, we'll update everyone with the Rob Gronkowski news, although our producer, Kevin Collins, says that he's not going to play.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming. Why? I mean, we just talked about that in the first segment. I don't think there's any reason for him to come back. Just get him ready for the playoffs. And he'll be a force in the playoffs, man. If he's well-rested, that's good news for Patriots. That's the amazing thing. Patriots are doing all this without Gronk.
Yeah, arguably their best offensive weapon outside of Brady.
I know, it hasn't slowed them down at all. They just keep on putting up numbers, so it's all good.
All right, let's get back to some of the emails here. Webradio@patriots.com is how you can email into us. We have an emailer from Matthew S. He says this is the first time he's made it to the finals, and he has a pretty solid team. His question is this. His opponent is playing Peyton Manning and Miles Austin, and our friend Matthew, the emailer, has Tony Romo and Demaryius Thomas. So his opponent has the quarterback. He has the wide receiver.
Okay.
Matthew has the quarterback, and his opponent has the wide receiver. You got that?
I got it.
All right. He wants to know, should he start Romo and Demaryius to cancel out his opponent's potential points, or should he go with someone like Andy Dalton, Cecil Shorts, or Danny Amendola or Antonio Brown instead of Miles Austin?
No. First of all, Tony, he's got Romo and Demaryius, right?
Correct. And his opponent has Peyton and Miles.
All right. So question number one is Romo or Dalton? You've got to go Romo against the Saints.
Absolutely.
That's a no-brainer. Dalton's on the road in Pittsburgh.
Not playing him.
So you're playing Romo, that's that. Demaryius Thomas had a bad week last week, but it's Demaryius Thomas. What is he, a top five wide receiver this year if you do all the numbers?
Yeah, probably top three.
Yeah, so you're starting him. You're starting your studs, and that's that. I'm not even considering anybody else. So I don't care that your opponent has Manning and Miles Austin, because the guys you have, you cannot bench.
Right.
Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Okay. I mean, there are times where this type of question comes into play, but it's when you have like Cecil Shorts and Brandon Lloyd, and you have to decide one or the other, and you want to cancel out his quarterback or whatever, that kind of thing. Mm. But when you're dealing with Demaryius Thomas and Tony Romo against the Saints, you got to roll with them.
Right, I agree. Totally agree. I think Tony Romo should have one of his better games this week. But then again, I said that about Josh Freeman last week, and he had one of his worst games.
I think Dallas is going to put up a lot of points this week. I think they're going to come out on fire.
Yeah.
All right,
we'll
Saints.
See. Yeah.
They're at home. The playoffs are on the line. And I think that they're going to put up 30-plus against the Saints. Saints might put up 30-plus on them as well. Don't know who's going to win it, but I think Romo's going to get plenty of yardage in that one.
All right, we got an email from Schuler. Wants to know which quarterback he should play. He says RG3 has been relying on Griffin all season long, and I got to tell you, Todd, the quarterbacks that he has the potential to pick up are not that great.
Uh-oh.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Tannehill, Mark Sanchez, who's not even starting this week, Jake Locker, Chad Henne, Brandon Whedon, Kirk Cousins. I think you have to go with Kirk Cousins here.
Against the Eagles.
Had a good game against the Browns. You know that you can be safe with the Redskins quarterbacks. If Kirk Cousins is RG3 is ruled out, you know you have time to swap in Kirk Cousins. I like having that backup plan and option in place.
Man, given the other options, I would say Cousins or Henne.
Cousins or Henne. Henne against the Patriots?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad one.
I mean, Whedon, they're playing Denver. No. Sanchez is not even playing. Tannehill and Fitzpatrick are going against each other, right?
Yeah.
In just a game that's so incredibly boring that I don't even want to have a player in that game.
Ugh.
Do you know what I mean?
It's terrible.
At least Washington, if you go with Cousins, I mean, first of all, he looked great last week, but if you go with the Washington game, you're two teams with no defenses.
Right.
Right? So there's a potential for a shootout, you would think, Washington and Philadelphia. And then I think Henne, as long as he can stay upright, I think Henne could put up some garbage time points against the Patriots next week too.
Yeah, I think so.
So I kind of agree with you. If you go Cousins, then you're good either way. You just watch the pregame and see who's going to start, RG3 or Cousins. And then I would maybe pick up Henne as a defensive move anyway, just so you have him in case you want to change your mind there. I think that the Washington Eagles play at 1 o'clock. Henne, they also play at 1 o'clock, so you'd have to make up your mind for both. Yep.
All right, how about his wide receivers? If RG3, if Robert Griffin III doesn't play, should he bench Pierre Garçon and then put in Brandon Lloyd? Or should he have Garçon out regardless and have Lloyd in his matchup, in his lineup?
That one's interesting. Like I've said all the whole time along here, I kind of like Lloyd this week, man.
All right. You like Lloyd.
Against Jacksonville. Now, if RG3 plays, man, if RG3 plays, he's going to be throwing it a lot more than normal, Bill. He's not going to be running around.
He's not going to be trying to run. No.
So Garcon becomes extremely attractive. But I'm leaning Lloyd right there.
Okay. I like that move, too. Last question is his defense. Texans defense or Chicago defense? I'm going all in on Chicago this week.
You like the Bears?
I do. Great matchup.
All right. I hear you on that one. Minnesota at Houston. Texans defense, we've been talking about it until we're blue in the face. They aren't as good as everyone thinks they are. It's a little bit of a myth based on their preseason. So Chicago's at Arizona.
Right.
Now, again, we all promoted the Lions last week against Arizona, and they burned us because prior to the Lions laying that stink bomb against the Cardinals, I think the previous four teams against the Cardinals defensively had put up 20 or more fantasy points four
dominated
weeks in a row.
Yeah, and the Chicago Bears were someone that was putting up 20 or more points every single week to start the year. Lately, they've kind of hit a slump, but I think the bounce-back game against the Cardinals is certainly there for the taking.
Yeah, I think that – put it this way. I'll say this. With the defenses, if the emailer, Shuler, is looking for just a consistent number, like a no-brainer, average 12, amount of points, 10, go Houston.
Yeah.
If you want the high upside, it's Chicago.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know. I have to admit, I picked up the Lions last week in one of my leagues, and it burned me.
See, I went against the trend. Everyone was picking up the Lions. I picked up the Titans, and they saved me.
Ah, smart move.
Smart move, right? Titans played against the Jets. I knew Sanchez was going to throw a lot of sacks. I mean, throw a lot of interceptions and get sacked a lot.
Throw a lot of sacks. I like
that. Throw a lot of sacks. How about that analysis? Good job.
He's going to throw a lot of sacks to Phillip Gates.
All right. What do you say? We got a telephone call on the line. I didn't even realize. Olivier from Virginia, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's where Olivier is waiting right now. What's going on, our friend? How you been?
I've been very well. And yourself?
We're doing great. What
doing
are we helping
well
with today?
Great news. Great news. Just wanted to call in. I haven't talked to you in a week. Feel like I'm going through withdrawals.
Oh, you missed us.
Yes, I did.
How was Vegas?
Vegas was nice, and I have to acknowledge that I did not put anything on the five and on the three and on the five red as you asked me to.
Oh,
but,
weird.
But I'll go back next time and I'll do it, I promise.
Okay.
But listen, I was in Brussels last week, and I got you some chocolate.
You were in Brussels? I thought you were in Vegas.
Yeah, but you know, I came back in Vegas on Sunday, and I left on Monday to go to Europe.
All right, time out. We're going to take a quick time out here. Let's just recap your last month in terms of traveling.
Yes.
Beginning of the month around Thanksgiving, you were in Brazil.
Yeah, I was in Rio for a week. Yeah.
Right, Rio for a week. Last week, you were in Vegas.
Yes, for 3 days.
Yeah. And then the last couple of days, I guess, you were in Brussels in Europe.
Yeah, it was 5 days in Belgium, and I came back.
Wherever the hell
Sunday.
That is. You're right, yeah. Belgium, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I fly 150,000 miles a year. That's why I'm always on a plane.
150,000 miles a year?
Yeah.
That's a lot, man.
Yeah, well, it's life, you know. That's what you get to make a living.
What's on the docket for January?
Yeah, where are you going?
I'm sorry?
Where are you going the next month?
Probably back to Europe a couple of times and probably back to Latin America, maybe in Asia as well. I'm not sure yet.
Oh. Nice.
Yes.
I don't know about you guys, but I've been here, the stadium, and a Dunkin' Donuts pretty much in the last month.
I know, but
yeah,
you've
Dunkin'
been,
Donuts,
you've
been there
on the front line watching the Pats. So, you know, I mean, I trade a week with you.
I might take you up on that, Olivier.
Well, you know, we've tried to do this, so you know, sooner or later I'll come up to Foxborough and I'll come and visit you guys.
Yeah, you can run the show.
Oh yeah,
I'll just take your air miles and go to Vegas or something like that.
Okay, that's a deal,
Olivier.
That's a deal. Yes.
Brazilians, girls in Las Vegas or whoever they have over in Brussels, who has the hottest women?
I think that every country has great women.
We're not going for politically correct right now. We want to know the facts. Who has the hottest women?
Yeah, I think we'd have to go to Brazilians in Vegas. No, just kidding. Great.
Brazilians in Vegas. All right, I like that answer.
Thank you. So anyways, you'll get your chocolate probably next week. I'll ship them over. I'll ship them to Kevin, and Kevin will send them to you.
Now, is chocolate from Brussels supposed to be like world's best?
Yeah, I think they are great. Yeah, they do these things very well. Yeah, better than Swiss, I think.
See, I've had Swiss chocolate. I went to Switzerland.
Olivier, you got to tell me, does the Belgian chocolate they sell at, like, Trader Joe's, is that any good?
I don't know what they sell there.
They sell. I bought some the other day, and it said like from Belgium, imported.
Yeah, I'm sure that they are good. You know, I don't know who makes them, but I'm sure it's pretty decent. But the ones I got you are, you know, pralines. So there are a bunch of stuff in there, like different types of chocolates and so forth. Yeah,
caramel,
you like it.
Dark chocolate.
See what you like, and I'll send you more.
All right, we like that.
Did you get your waffles?
Yes, awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, I don't even know when you got them, so I'm not really sure if they were still good. But we still have more. If you guys want, I'll send them more.
No, they were delicious.
Bill, did you just eat yours this morning? Because they had an expiration date like last week on there.
No, yeah, I had exactly. mine. I had mine last week, yeah.
I wonder you had the stomach problems, Bill.
I did have a little bit of stomach problems. I was wondering if it was the waffle.
That's funny. Hey, guys, so very quickly.
Yeah.
I've made my lineup. I've been destroyed for the last 2 weeks, so I made my lineup for this week. I got Tom Brady and Andrew Luck for my quarterbacks. And
nice.
I could substitute Luck with Romo if you think it makes sense. But for my running back, I'm debating between Bryce Brown and David Wilson.
I'm a little bit nervous about Bryce Brown. He hasn't been doing a whole lot lately.
Yeah,
LeSean
I agree.
McCoy might
I agree.
Come back.
I'll go with Wilson then.
Yeah.
And then I'm debating between No'Shawn Moreno or the hamster.
That's close, but I'm going to go with Doug Martin.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay.
Kevin's been waiting all day for that, to play that soundbite.
Doug Martin, I have my 4th-ranked running back. No'Shawn Moreno is my 10th-ranked running back. So I'm going to go with Doug Martin.
Because Doug Martin burned everyone last week. I mean,
He did burn everybody. He burned me.
Nothing whatsoever.
I know, but you have to trust him.
Okay. So for the wide receiver, I have T.Y. Hilton against Kansas City and Andre Johnson against Minnesota.
I like that.
I can substitute Johnson with Brian or Brandon Lloyd. I'm not sure which one is probably best at that point.
I'd keep Andre Johnson.
Yeah, Todd, I know you like Brandon Lloyd, but not more than Andre Johnson.
No,
right?
No. Keep right. Andre in there.
Yeah,
keep
that's Andre, what I thought too.
I mean, if anything, can you swap out Lloyd for Hilton?
Maybe. I need to check.
Only because if you're starting Luck and Hilton, you're putting a lot of eggs in that basket.
Right.
Well, you know, same thing with Brady and Lloyd, right? Because Brady's going to be.
Yeah, that's a little different. I mean, come on.
I agree. And then for the tight end, I have Greg Olsen. I guess I could get another player such as Kyle Rudolph or even Dennis Pitta.
Kyle Rudolph, everyone's favorite red-nosed tight end.
Really?
Well, I'm just making a little bit play on his name.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Oh yes, very good. Yes, excellent. I just understood it.
Yeah. Kyle Rudolph, everyone's favorite red zone tight end.
Yes, absolutely.
That was really awful.
Yeah.
Red zone tight end? That's great. It's brilliant. It's Christmas time.
So Bill, Olivier, the first question he asked us was Romo or Luck as a second quarterback?
Romo.
What's that?
I'd go with Romo.
Over Luck?
Yeah.
Yes.
Romo against the Saints.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a safe play, man. Luck's on the road against the Chiefs. Not a bad matchup, but it is on the road outside. Yep. You know, with Romo against the Saints, there'll be a lot of points scored, and it's in a dome.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you're doing that, then you don't have Hilton and Luck combination. So
you can keep Hilton. Yep.
Yeah, you can keep Hilton if you want. Yep.
Yeah. And then you would go with Pitta or Olsen or Bennett for the tight end.
Pitta.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. He did great last week.
He was
almost
awesome.
Picked him up, and fortunately, I didn't. But you know, it's always the way it goes. And then I had the same problem as you, Todd, last week. I had for my defense, I had the same team as you did, and they really, really did
Lions
for me. Yeah, the Lions. I thought they would do well against Arizona, but no luck. So I took Indianapolis this week. That's the only defense I think I can get.
That's a sneaky play this week against the Chiefs. I like that.
Yeah. So that's,
the Chiefs could be playing a guy by the name of Ricky Stanzi at quarterback
from
Iowa.
I was going to say
Pittsburgh. That's even better.
I thought it was Pittsburgh.
Ricky Stanzi?
Yeah.
He's definitely he's from Iowa.
He's from Iowa. They wear the Steelers like uniforms.
Yeah.
You're thinking of Tyler Palko?
Yeah.
He was a Pittsburgh Panther.
Yeah.
Oh,
I see. Tyler Palko.
A fellow Jag quarterback.
Really?
Yeah, but I think Palko played on the Chiefs last year.
He almost beat the Patriots, though.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Wow.
Dead serious. Sorry, they made it a game.
You're going to what? You said Europe next, so enjoy your holidays and safe
travels.
I'll
let you know because my schedule is not yet firmed and defined. But January I'll probably be on the road again.
Let us know.
Hopefully
I'll
be in New Orleans.
when?
February.
With the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Are you definitely going?
Yeah, probably.
Or are you just like saying that?
No, I like to go to Super Bowl.
Regardless of who's playing, or only if the Patriots go.
If the Pats go, I'll go. And if not, I'll consider going because it's always a fantastic event.
It is. I went last year for the first time, and I had a wonderful time. I can only imagine what it would be like in New Orleans.
Yeah, well, that's the way you should do it. I mean, New Orleans is always a party place. I think it's...
Well, I desperately want to go, but we'll see if that's in the cards for me. I'm not really sure yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, gentlemen, as always, I appreciate your time and your hospitality. And
we appreciate your great stories.
I have so many more, but sure. those should be told in a private environment. Kevin knows about it.
Gotcha.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Have a
great
day.
Thanks, Olivier, for the call. Thanks for the chocolate as well. Happy holidays. I'll tell you, I thought I had a good life working for a fantasy football, being on the radio. I don't know, man. He's kind of making me jealous.
He's the international man of mystery.
Yeah, he's like James Bond or something.
He is.
The Belgian James Bond.
I just like how nonchalant he is about it. Like, where are you going next? He's like, I don't know, maybe Asia or, Europe. Could go down to Latin America. I'm not really sure yet.
150.
Like, if I go to the 7-Eleven, like at the Dedham Mall, that's a trip for me. That's all I need.
150,000 miles he does a year. That's
he's going to be
lot.
Like George Clooney in that movie where he gets like the million frequent flyer miles.
I once did 110,000 miles in a year, and I thought I was going to die. It was
that's a lot of miles,
It was way too much.
Yep.
I mean, that's crazy.
He's the man. So we'll see him in New Orleans, right?
I guess so. I hope so.
I pray to God I get to go to New Orleans. That'd be awesome.
Well, you're definitely going if the Patriots go,
If the
right?
Patriots go, I'll be there. But if they're not there, I won't be there.
I mean, listen, if the Patriots go, I think that Todd and I should both be there as well, doing fantasy football and Football Nation. I totally consider us a part of the Patriots family now.
But if we all have to share a room, you guys are sleeping together. I get my own bed.
I'll sleep in the bathtub for all I care. Who's going to sleep in New Orleans?
No, we don't sleep. What are you talking about?
Oh, I'll be sleeping.
Sleep.
I'll have to work every day.
Oh, cry me a river.
I will cry. I cried in Indy.
It's because they lost.
Yeah, I was sitting next to a trash can in Lucas Oil Stadium for a half an hour in disbelief.
I don't want to tell you who I was sitting next to. All right, we got another email. Our web radio, patriots.com radio. Jacob from Denmark. We are the international fantasy football show of mystery. Jacob from Denmark is in the finals.
Why don't you go back home to your street malls and drink your Zimas and Smirnoff ices? Booyah!
I have a feeling that Jacob he hits me up on Twitter, at FFChamps, by the way, and he doesn't look like the age that he's allowed to drink a Zima yet.
What's the drinking age over there?
Like
7?
In Denmark? I don't know.
Yeah, just curious.
I feel like all those countries are really strict.
Really?
I don't know.
In Beer Fest over there, they weren't that strict.
No, I guess not. It's not Mexico, though.
Oh, you're right. It's not Mexico. Now, that's a country.
Yeah.
What's his
anyway,
question?
Jacob, Reggie Bush. Where do you have these?
Got
Reggie Bush
built.
Or Vic Ballard for Jacob in Denmark? Reggie Bush or Vic Ballard?
Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush?
I'm
now, he names three wide receivers, but he doesn't tell me how many he needs. Miles Austin, Stevie Johnson, or Pierre Garçon.
Rank
so
him.
I'm just going to tell him to go with start all of them, Jacob, because apparently that's what you need to do here.
Well, he wants to know one of them. He can only start one.
How do you know that?
Rank them, then. Rank them for him. He's got Miles Austin, Stevie J, and Pierre Garçon.
Stevie J, Miles Garçon.
Stevie J, Miles Garçon. I think I agree with that. If RG3's out, I agree with that.
Yeah. Our boy Dan Higgins won 13 in a row. Now, Todd, if you remember, this is the guy that traded away Doug Martin in the middle of the season, despite our excellent advice. But apparently he's on a 13-game winning streak, so good for him. He hit the Super Bowl, needs some help in a non-PPR league. Two running backs out of these four, Darren McFadden, Amon Bradshaw, David Wilson, or Jonathan Dwyer.
Well, he's going to have an easy decision there if Bradshaw doesn't play.
Right, because he's starting who?
McFadden and Wilson.
Okay.
Can't
if
start
Bradshaw
right
play, if Bradshaw plays, that'll obviously diminish what David Wilson can do.
Yep.
Does he put in Jonathan Dwyer at that point?
Wow. I wouldn't feel good about that at all.
Okay.
Would
all
you?
Right. No, I would not at all.
I mean, Dwyer's been a what's going on with the Steelers? I mean, he's just been they've all been terrible.
Yeah.
What did let's see Dwyer last week? 9 rushes, 22 yards, and a touchdown. At least he got in the end zone.
Yeah.
But 2 weeks in a row, 2 weeks combined, he has 54 yards rushing.
I think if Bradshaw comes back, you almost have to play him.
Yeah, I think if Bradshaw's back, then you go McFadden, Bradshaw.
Yeah.
And if he's right. not, then you go McFadden and Wilson, and you're all set.
Right. He also wants to need help with his defense. Seattle, Indianapolis, or San Diego. I'm going with Seattle. No brainer here. When you're playing in Seattle, they're one of the best defenses in the league.
Yep. Seattle's red hot. Go with Seattle. Yeah.
Our friend Kat in Chicago wants to give us some props. She's in the championship game despite the Lions' defense. But now her conundrum is at quarterback. It's 12-team league, non-PPR. She has Stafford and Joe Flacco also available. Russell Wilson. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Nick Foles, Ryan Tannehill, Sam Bradford, Christian Ponder, Brandon Whedon. You sticking with Stafford, picking up Russell Wilson against the 49ers, or going with Joe Flacco against the New York Giants?
Man. I might go with Stafford and hold my breath.
What about Sam Bradford against the Bucs?
I'm not going with Sam Bradford in my Super
Bowl.
No?
Don't like him? All right.
Not in my Super Bowl.
You're sticking with Stafford. At home, maybe they turn around their losing streak.
Against the Falcons, Falcons' defense is not all that. Stafford was absolutely terrible.
Fell out to Eli Manning.
No, that's true. But Stafford, I mean, he couldn't be any worse than he was last week.
Yeah,
they're going to try to get Calvin Johnson that record.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not feeling good about that at all if I'm Kat. What do you say?
I say you have to go stick with Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, they're at home. They're in a dome. They're playing the Falcons. Falcons are up and down.
Yeah.
I just, you know, Russell Wilson, I like him. Not against San Fran. I know that the Brady just shredded him, but, you know, the Seattle, I just can't see him putting up points every single week. I'm just not ready to go all in with Wilson fantasy-wise, you know?
Not yet, right?
And the rest of these guys that are available, I mean, Foles has upside. You know,
right.
He's seen that, but Stafford has more upside, and go with the proven commodity, go with Stafford. Can't trust Flacco. Forget Flacco. Wacko for Flacco, not me.
Yeah,
where's he going to play next year, by the way?
Maybe he'll play for the Jets.
Maybe.
Let's go to another emailer, John S. He wants to know, should he play Eli Manning or Sam Bradford this week?
Oh, man. We've been reduced to that with Eli, huh?
I'm a little shocked by that kind of performance last week with Eli Manning. I mean, he burned people. Him and Josh Freeman ruined people's seasons last week.
I know.
So I understand if people are considering benching him. I don't blame him.
I agree. It's not good.
It's not.
Do you start Bradford over him? That's a ballsy call, man.
Yeah, I don't start Bradford over him. Can't.
Well, first of all, kind of like Houston, Baltimore's defense is not nearly as good as their reputation.
Right.
Will the Giants stink 2 weeks in a row? I mean, really? Be that
Doubtful.
Terribly bad?
Doubtful.
Doubtful. So,
Hey, will the Ravens stink 5 weeks in a row?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they could.
Right.
Their defense is in shambles, man. We called this a month ago. We
yes.
actually sounded pretty smart doing it because they were riding high at the time.
I love it when we sound so smart.
Yeah, we were pretty smart on that one. They just you just knew that. You saw that they had a murderer's row coming up in the second half of the season, and they had the nice lead padded out there. But I'll tell you what, if Ben Roethlisberger doesn't get injured, I think the Steelers probably would have taken this division already. You know?
Yeah, right.
So anyway, I'm going to go Eli over Bradford to answer Jonathan's question.
All right, now he needs two running backs, C.J. Spiller, Stephen Ridley, or Michael Turner.
Spiller.
You know what? Don't answer that. I think he should start all of those guys because he needs one of them in the flex, and I don't like his other options here at wide receiver. So C.J. Spiller, Stephen Ridley, Michael Turner all belong in his matchup, and here's why. His wide receivers, Calvin Johnson, obviously he's starting him. But right. Then it comes down to Antonio Brown, Chris Givens, or Greg Jennings.
Ew.
Yeah. Or he can pick up Brandon Gibson, he says. It's a PPR league. I kind of like Antonio Brown.
All right. Yeah, go with Antonio.
Tight end, Dennis Pitta, yes. Dallas Clark, or Vernon Davis? Stop right on Pitta. Yeah, I think Pitta too. Defense, Pats or Seahawks? I'm going with Seattle. Listen, I know the Patriots have a very opportunistic defense, especially the last month or so of the season, scoring a lot of plays on both special teams and, you know, pick sixes, fumble recoveries for a touchdown. But the Seattle Seahawks, when they play in Seattle, their defense is phenomenal.
I like both options. And if I'm him, I put them both on my roster and I start one of them. And I defensively keep the other one away from my opponent. I like both plays. But, yeah, you can't go wrong with Seattle at home. I know they're playing the Niners, but Colin Kaepernick, he fumbled quite a bit in that Patriots game. So,
yeah, he really did.
Yeah, it was
a lot
weird.
Of
the weather,
the
I don't
snap.
Know what it was.
Yeah.
But I like both those plays.
Now, Todd, you know, it's week 16. It's the Fantasy Football Championship. Are you going out on the waiver wire this week and actually thinking about not only picking someone up, but starting them this week?
No.
So
no,
are you
picking do it defensively?
Right. I was just going to say, are you going out there picking up players just to prevent your opponent from picking them up?
Yeah, that's what I do.
Now, that being said, are you kicking yourself because you're preventing your opponent from picking up a player that you wouldn't start, whereas maybe he would be dumb enough to start him and then therefore get, you know, not a lot
no.
of good production?
Well, if that's the case, I just let him have him.
Well, I was overthinking that one.
Yeah, the lineup I have, it's very strong. So there's no one's going to infiltrate my starting lineup at this point, the teams that I have left. But there are guys out there that would improve my opponent's roster.
You look at the Ryan Matthews situation. Broke his collarbone. San Diego does not have a running back. There's three guys fighting for that job. I know Ronnie Brown was out last week with a hamstring injury, but I think he'll be back in week 16. Right. Also in the mix, Curtis Brinkley and Jackie Battle. So they go from one Ryan Matthews to three running backs, all of which are not really reliable.
No. See, the example is the David Wilson's the example, right? This last week, David Wilson is the example of picking him up wherever I can because he is a viable threat as
right.
long as Bradshaw's out. He's a guy that could do some damage against me if I don't have him.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, I don't worry about these guys at all. I mean, Brinkley, Jackie Battle, who cares? I mean, maybe one of them will pop up. Maybe you roll the dice if you're really desperate. I mean, you have to be really desperate to pick up one of these guys and start him in your Super Bowl.
Right.
Unless you're in a deep league. Now, there are a lot of people in deep leagues.
Yeah.
To answer your question, again, the scenario would be more of a David Wilson type thing where I know he's going to start, I know he's electric, and he had a decent matchup, but it didn't work out. As we mentioned, he didn't get enough touches because they got down
right.
such a large amount. But with these guys on a bad team, I wouldn't go out and try to grab Curtis Brinkley so my opponent couldn't have him.
All right, now every week around this time, we try to help out our producer, Kevin Collins. I believe this is you, KC and the Sunshine Band in the
That's
semifinals.
That's the name of my team.
KC and the Sunshine Band. You want to explain that one?
I don't know. It was given to me by the league manager.
What does that mean?
I don't know. He named me that, and I just kind of left it.
You don't get to pick your
No,
team
you can
name?
Pick. You can change it. He just, you know, he's kind of funny. He's creative and picks everyone's names, and then you can go in and change every year.
And you just decided to keep it. So
yeah, I like it. People call me KC, and so
basically you're saying that you're
a musical
not
group
creative.
Named after me. That's cool.
Really? See,
yeah,
we name the person that comes in last place every
so
year.
So do we.
We.
I like
him.
That. I like that.
Yeah,
that's
we can't.
Great.
We can't name.
No, on the air. Can't even say the first.
See, you got to build in. See, Kevin, what you got to do is you got to build in a lot of intrigue for a number of reasons in your leagues. Early on in this, there were a lot of players that would just tank it at the end because they didn't care anymore because they were out of it. So you got to give them incentive to keep playing hard. So what we do is we have like weekly monetary prizes and stuff.
No, that's cool.
So the high point for every week gets a certain amount of money. It's a significant amount of money. So even if you're 0-10 in week 11, you win some money. Now, yeah. If you lose, every week that you lose, you owe money, extra money. So every loss, the losses pile up, the dough piles up. In addition to all that, if you come in last place, you know, you get your team named. And trust me, you do not want your team named by the crew that I hang with.
No.
See, what they did in these leagues that I'm in, and I'm in two leagues and it happens to both be the same, is the consolation ladder for those who didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
The winner of that ladder gets the number one pick next year.
See, I think that's so ridiculous, too. Because why should anything from this year have any kind of effect on next year? You're not in a dynasty league. You're not.
I don't make the rules. I just abide by them.
Well, we did a thing, guys, where depending on the way that it finished, you got the opportunity to pick your draft spot. Because some years you don't want the number one pick. We used to really drill down into a lot of details and make it very complicated.
I don't know. To me, 2012, as soon as 2012 is over, you go on to next year. 2013, new year, has nothing to do with next year. Unless, of course, you're in
dynasty.
Some kind of dynasty league
keeper.
Or keeper league. Yeah.
Yeah. But not even draft position?
Not even draft position.
So what do you just do it out of a hat
pick
every year?
Pick out of a hat. Yeah, pick out of a hat every year.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. You have to buy a case of beer, and you get your name, you get your team named decided by the rest
of
the
team. Well, see, that's the best part, because as we're usually doing the draft in that particular league, we all live all over the country now, so now it's an online draft. But the whole time during the draft in that little chat room,
yeah,
it's just hundreds of possible names.
I love it.
And it's pretty funny. And then by the end, we've nailed one down.
Yeah, like, it gets pretty vulgar.
Yeah, it's very.
We
it's
do not very, act like very mature men when it comes to naming our opponent's team.
No, it's terrible. It's very personal.
It's so childish.
It's very childish. And yeah,
it's awesome at the same time.
And actually, so Kevin, the guy yeah. that is going to have it this year for us, he hasn't had it happen to him yet, so it's going to be great. He's been in the league for 20 years. It's finally happening to him.
All right, so Kevin, KC and the Sunshine Band. That's where we got off track. Anyway, you need a flex option. Is it a PPR league or what?
Non-PPR 10-team league.
Non-PPR 10-team league. And right now you have Steven Jackson, Michael Turner, Heath Miller, but you can pick up Jordy Nelson, who we don't know if he's going to play, Jaquizz Rodgers, not good in the non-PPR format, or Brian Hartline, the most overrated player of the year. He had a 253-yard, one-touchdown performance, and then everyone went out and grabbed him, started him for a month straight, and now he's just been doing nothing. So Steven Jackson, Michael Turner, or Heath Miller, I don't like any of your options on the waiver wire. Todd, what say you?
Oh, man.
Steven Jackson playing against Tampa. I like that matchup.
Yeah. You went with Steven J last week, right?
Yeah, I did. It got me like 14 points or something like that, all off yardage.
Yeah, right.
I think that's what you do.
No Michael Turner against Detroit. Michael Turner on a 5-game touchdown streak.
I don't know. There's just no upside with any of these guys.
Steven Jackson playing against the 11th best rush defense. Michael Turner taking on the 9th best rush defense. I got Steven Jackson ranked 22nd. Michael Turner ranked 26th. Heath Miller at the tight end spot. You know, Ben Roethlisberger was kind of critical of Todd Haley after the game. Right, it's a non-PPR league, so I'm leaving Heath Miller out of that equation. I'm going to go with Steven Jackson. Again, listen, you used him last week. He helped you win. I think you should do the same here in week 16.
Last four
or the
weeks,
semifinals, whatever.
Non-PPR, actually, I'll go back the last 6 weeks for Steven Jackson, non-PPR. 19 points, 9, 14, 12, 13, 14.
He's really come alive because he started off pretty slow.
He's not sexy, but again, if this is a flex play and you're looking for, there's two ways to play the flex play. You either want to go, you know, gangbusters on a guy with ridiculous upside, but he could also bust, you know, like a T.Y. Hilton type guy.
Right.
Or you go with the consistent guy that you know will get you that 9 or 10 points, and that's what Steven Jackson is.
Okay. I think
none of these other guys have an crazy upside in my eyes.
Any other questions from KC and the Sunshine Band?
That's all I got, pretty much. I think I'm going to drop the Lions defense this week.
I got a question for you. Are you going to change that name next year?
Depends on how I do. If I win the league, I'll probably keep it.
Why don't you do like the producer or DJ KC?
I guess. I actually
KC and the Sunshine Band.
I kind of liked it.
It's too happy. You need to be like angry.
I'm a happy
guy. You
know
what it's like? You know what KC and the Sunshine Band is like? It's like a mascot that's like happy. Like I went to Syracuse. We had that Otto, the orange mascot.
Yeah.
That thing's not intimidating anybody. That's not ferocious. That's what your name symbolizes, Kevin. It's a very, like, happy... You almost want to play KC and the Sunshine Band.
You know what mascot I love from college is the Oregon Duck. That SportsCenter commercial kills me. When he's sitting there on his computer and he looks at all the other ducks, like, playing in the pond.
Stop trying to change the subject. We're on the subject of your team name, and you need to
like
change it. Don't change it this year. It's bad luck. Change it this year.
No, I'm not gonna. But if I win the championship, then it's still okay to change it.
My team name in one of my leagues,
yeah,
is Outrageous Temper. Okay.
Okay.
So when people play me, you know,
yeah,
they're intimidated.
They're very intimidated.
They don't want to feel your wrath.
No,
because I've got an outrageous temper. You don't want to, you know, let me be. You know,
the name in the league that I just missed the playoffs by, you know, that Welker drop that we've talked about. It was Rice Baby. I liked that
one. That's a good one. Did you have Ray Rice?
Yeah, he's my keeper. So.
Oh, yeah. That's a great name, then.
I like it.
That's a great name. One of my friends.
My commission that league, by the way, is the best for making up names.
One of my friends, Dave's, is the Heatstroke 12.
Ooh.
And the reason why it's 12 is because 12 years ago, what was that guy's name from the Vikings that passed away from Heatstroke?
That's bad. That's I know who you're talking about. Corey Stringer?
Yeah. The summer after, that's what he made his team name.
That's bad.
You know,
too soon.
Time,
you should say too
soon,
man.
It was too soon. But now it's 12 years later, so
yeah.
He stroke 12. I think that's what 12, right? XII? Is that the Roman numeral for 12?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what his team name is.
Todd wants nothing to do with this.
But
my buddy, my commission that league where I'm Rice Baby, right? So there was one year he had Kendall Hunter and like Percy Harvin on his team.
Yeah,
and his name,
last year,
his name was Kendall along the Hightower or something like that. Or he had Tim Hightower and Hunter or something like that. It was, like, really creative. And then another one he had, like, Harvin and Frank Gore, and it was, like, Harvin a Gory time. Like, he's pretty creative with that crap.
One of my all-time favorite is Show Me Your TDs.
Oh, yeah.
Like everyone has a guy. Everyone has someone in their league does that one.
Yeah, I like that one, though.
I like it.
It's awesome.
It's catchy. What do you say we wrap up with some KC and the Sunshine Band here?
Yeah, put up KC and the Sunshine Band from DJ KC. Todd, any last-minute thoughts? We're in Week 16. It's a championship weekend. What do you want to say to everyone out there?
It's the final week. Start your studs. Don't overthink it, people.
Kevin, what do you got?
I just want to win. Just win, baby, win.
Just win, baby. All right, Todd and Kevin will be back on Thursday for Football Nation 4 to 6 Eastern Standard Time on Patriots.com Radio. And remember, if you listen to this show on demand via the podcast, send us a tweet at FFChamps and we'll help you win your fantasy football matchups for this week. Thanks for listening. Best of luck in Week 16.